feeling good. Welcome to Savoring the World, the podcast where we explore different cultures through the universal language of food. I'm your host, CJ Crawford, and today we're diving into rich traditions and histories behind various cuisines. Food has had an incredible ability to bring people together, no matter where they're from or the language they speak. It is a journey that connects us all. Today I'm joined by my wonderful sister, Kalai. Kalai, say something.
Hi, I'm Kalai. My entire side of my mom's family are born and raised in Hawaii, and I have a lot of Hawaiian heritage. But I have not really liked Hawaiian food my entire life. There was parts where I was like, ew, I don't want to do that. I don't want to eat that, any of it. But once I started getting into the idea of eating it, I felt more of a connection with my family and with my ancestors, whom I felt I have had no connections with.
That's interesting. You say that you're from Hawaii. Have you ever been to Hawaii?
Multiple times, yes. On occasion.
What's like the main food that's over there? Like, what do you eat? What's like the traditional, like, you sit down, you have dinner together? Like, what? Take me through that culture, the diversity from, you know, the United States.
A lot of traditional Hawaiian cuisines include poi, which is, it's like mashed up blended taro, which it's an acquired taste. Say the least. But there's also spam musubi, which is rice, soy sauce, seaweed, and spam.
Let me pause you right there. Spam musubi is honestly one of the best things I've ever had. I could eat that, like, all day, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Proceed.
There's also chicken long rice. It's rice, chicken, rice noodles with a soy sauce-based sauce, as well as... There's poke bowls also originate from Japan as well as Hawaii, so.
Where does your, like, passion come in, you know, from food? Like, just growing up, you know, I've seen you always love being in the kitchen and, you know, enjoying, you know, certain types of food. So where does that come from?
It just comes from the feeling of wanting to get better and to get closer to family from which I cannot be with physically because they are all the way on the island while I am here on the mainland. So it's just a way of spreading the culture to everyone around me.
Awesome, awesome. All right, well, let's jump to the universal language of food. Have you ever wondered why food has such a powerful impact in our lives?
No, I haven't. Why is it such a powerful impact in the way we see ourselves?
Because it's a deeply rooted, you know, thing in our cultures, traditions, and our histories. Today, we'll uncover how different dishes evolved and what they mean to the cultures, where they come from. To start, let's travel to Italy, where pasta is more than just a staple. It's a symbol of love, family, and tradition.
Pasta has been a part of Italian cuisine for centuries. It's not about the food itself. It's about the way they're made, how they're made with families, gathering around a table. It has meaning behind it. Today, in the U.S., since people just see it as a, we'll just eat some spaghetti this week, just because it's easy. But to other people centuries ago, or even now in other places, they see food as a way to get closer to family and see each other and spend their love and time with each other.
Right. I want to take us to, you know, there's a show called The Jersey Shore, and they all, you know, get together on, you know, Sundays, and they talk about food, but you talk about, you know, their week or whatever. I mean, it's an MTV show, so it's filled with a bunch of drama, but one thing that's always caught my eye is, like, they always eat, you know, pasta, or because they're all Italian, so I feel like that comes from their culture. It's fascinating how something simple as pasta can tell us so much about a culture, and Italy is just one example. Let's move to another part of the world, let's say Japan, where sushi isn't just a meal, but it's kind of like an art, you know?
Yeah. Sushi has always felt like a global favorite, even in America. Though it is not part of our personal traditions, it is something that many people enjoy, but they don't really know the meaning behind the artistic expression and the reflection of the history behind sushi and how people use it and eat it and spend time, like,
Right. You know, going to like a Japanese restaurant, you can always see the guy in the weirdly shaped hat, always being like kind of making an art out of his food, right? So, sushi has become like a global favorite. You know, the U.S., it's a big kind of, people love it, But it's deeply embedded in the Japanese culture. It's a perfect example of how food can be an expression as well as a reflection in history of their tradition.
Sushi was originally a way to preserve fish by fermenting in rice. Did you know that?
Mm-mm. Did not.
Over time, it evolved into the beautifully crafted dishes we see in these mainstream restaurants nowadays. Each piece of sushi has told a different story because they were made by different people for different reasons in different ways.
Hmm. That's interesting. It's amazing how food can be both a cultural effect and a way to bring people together. Speaking of bringing people together, let's explore how food festivals around the world celebrate culture diversity. All right, let's move to the next segment, and that will be a celebration of culture.
Food festivals have always been a fantastic way of experiencing different cultures firsthand. They bring communities together, celebrate traditions, and provide a platform for people to share their culinary heritage. One of these such festivals are called the Sai Song. The Thai Festival of Food, uh-huh. Where food plays a central role in the celebrations all above.
Where does that celebration, you think, come from? Like, what is that?
I feel like it comes from, you know how back in the day, people can't just walk to the store and buy food. They have out and hunt it and fish it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they celebrate it now because it's easier to find, easier to gather.
Right, that's something, I think we take, for granted. Our pastime wasn't so easy to just go get food. It was something that, we just had Thanksgiving, and, that was a celebration of a big meal that everybody came together and ate because it brought family together. That's another where family comes together with food. A bunch of, diversity all comes together and we eat and feast together.
That sounds kind of like a mini food festival.
Yeah, it does. Okay, well, let's jump to, an experience that you may have, experienced through, sharing your story. Like, it's clear that food has become a powerful, thing to unite us and deepen our understanding of the world around us. So what is something that you've kind of experienced, not only with your, ties to Hawaii and, their cultures, but something else, like, what have you experienced?
Though I have ties to Hawaii, I also have ties to Puerto Rico and their cuisines. Their cuisines aren't normally that out there, but they're still very unique to the culture because they're like their own little country melting pot of different Hispanic countries and mm-hmm. even African American countries. They have so many different types of food that it's hard to figure out which is which. There's right. mofongo. There's...
What's that? What's mofongo?
It's like...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you don't have to.
There's...
If you don't really understand it, it's fine.
There's also empanadas, uh-huh. which is a pastry with either cheese, pizza-like filling, mm-hmm. like marinara sauce, beef filling, chicken filling. You could have any type of filling. It's just a pastry dish that can be deep fried and shared with the entire family. An easy dish.
Kind of like an appetizer. Is it like an appetizer?
Yeah. There's also like red rice and beans. Though it seems simple, it's a very...
I've tried to make red rice and beans and I've never really, got the taste that I've wanted because I don't have, the ingredients, I would say. Kind of like, the Puerto Rican culture. Right, so I try to make it, but I really can't.
I think it's the kind of seasonings that they use.
Right.
Because there's, though in the past, people who have searched for seasonings, they have tried to find them.
Mm-hmm.
The people don't use seasonings. Certain majorities don't use seasonings mm-hmm. as much.
Right.
Though people say that seasonings makes it so that it covers up whatever food you made, mm-hmm. it doesn't. It expresses the flavors right. of the food.
I can see that, yeah.
Because, you know, when I want to taste something that I may make, I also want to taste something that, you know, somebody else can make so I can taste the difference and taste like what they've, you know, really put into it. Now, back to your, you know, Hawaiian heritage. I know you talked a little bit about festivals in the beginning, but what is, like, you know, what does a real festival look like over there? Like, what's something that, you know, people come together and, you know, I've seen videos, but what's the real meaning behind it?
The real meaning, well, what we call it on Hawaii, they're called luaus.
Right.
There are big festivals where the entire family will gather for a specific reason, whether it be a family reunion, a mm-hmm. birthday party, a baby shower, or even a wedding could be constituted as a luau. But luaus are just a way for everyone to be together in...
Is that what, like, the fiery things that people do, or is that something different? I'm not real sure.
Those are really called, most of the time, they're bonfires, but sometimes at luaus, they will have bonfires.
Yeah.
But mainly luaus are about cooking with family and spending time with that family,
mm-hmm.
or with your family, and a lot of family things
mm-hmm.
are a big part of Hawaii and how they string themselves together. Like, I myself have been to multiple luaus, I've been to family reunions, and all of these have helped me get closer with that family, because
right.
if you're strung away from your heritage for a long enough time, you feel, like, disconnected, even if you have close family that
mm-hmm.
live there or were born there or who have lived there. So it's just a little...
I feel like when you're, when our older brother, Mihal, he had his graduation party, you know, a couple years back. What was, like, I feel like I felt the energy being brought to me from Hawaii. Like, it was, you know, they bring their own culture with them. What does that, like, come from? Like, how does that work?
It comes from their passion in the food they make. My grandfather, we call him Papa Mel. He was the one who made half of the dishes that had the smoked kalua pork,
mm-hmm.
the smoked meats, and he spent a lot of time marinating them and putting his love and effort into each and every
part of the
food that they made. Even though it was not cooked there, it was cooked in,
mm-hmm.
like,
They brought it with them, you know, they brought the spice with them, I would say.
Spice, yeah.
Yeah.
But, though... Some people
mm-hmm.
will say that it's something they could do. I've seen a lot of cheap imitations, especially here in Florida, especially when it comes to people who are like, oh, Hawaiian food is just pineapple stuff.
Right. No, I mean, that's
no
not,
one
that's
sees
not
it,
it
that
all.
Way, especially on Hawaii, though we do have some things that are flavored pineapple. That is not the only flavor they have there.
Even though pineapple is good, and we're going to get to that later, what is... That's just not it, you know, because there's a lot of things that are brought to you, you know, because, I mean, they say, like, the fruity, the, you know, the, what's it, like, the island, the tropical flavor, that's not it. That's not it at all, because when I eat the Hawaiian food that everybody made, I mean, it was just awesome, you know?
One thing that I think that we should dive into would be, you know, nutrition. Nutrition is something that, you know, is very important. But in the U.S., I feel like it's very lacked. Like, you know, we don't eat the best things, I would say, you know, coming from somebody that's... I'm in the gym, you know, probably 4 to 5 days a week, but we're usually, like, the number one country in, you know, obesity, and, you know, that's just not... That's unacceptable. And, you know, why do you think that is? Why do Americans, you know, have... We're always number one in obesity. Like, why is that?
I feel like that'd be because they don't really care what goes into the food as long as the food will taste good, as long as the food will last as long as possible. Like,
right.
The preservatives they put in
mm-hmm.
and the extra artificial sugars, they add on to those calories and add on to the fat.
Right.
And so
sugar equals fat. Sugar equals fat every
time. Sometimes.
Most of the time.
When it comes to natural sugars, it's not always adding a lot of fat, but artificial sugars will add a bunch of fat. But countries who put pride into their cooking, they know to get the good ingredients.
They don't just go to, you know, a Wendy's or a McDonald's for dinner. You know, they take pride in what they do every single night in their kitchen, right?
As much as possible, as much as they can.
Yeah. You know, that's a big thing. So, like, I feel like in, you know, other countries, I mean, I haven't been to a lot of countries, but from things that I've heard from listening to other people, you know, other podcasts, you know, not ours, but they don't have, you know, the traditional, like a grocery store on every single block like we do, or like, you know, a McDonald's on every single block. I feel like in Jacksonville, every time you see an exit, it's always that big M, you know?
But in, like, places where it's more rural and more traditional, they still have those big corporates, but they're not as repetitive in the rural area. But in the area where you see more tourists, that is where you're going to see more of the mainstream big corporations, McDonald's, Wendy's, basically all of the above. But when it comes to more rural, more family-like environments, it's normally locally owned source, locally
like owned. Like mom-and-pop shops, right?
Pretty much, yeah. Like that sort of thing.
As things come to a close here, I mean, I've really learned from you a lot about, you know, you and, you know, your pastime and your how you've really, like, the things that I've seen in the past, like how, why you're so passionate and why you just love food overall. You know, that sounds bad, but it's not really what I mean. You know, you love how food brings people together. It's honestly been a pleasure talking to you. What are some, you know, some things that, you know, you've gathered here from doing this podcast?
I mean, some of the things that I've gathered here is that most kids, younger kids, will take for granted the type of food that they're able to get with convenience and quickness here in the United States. But looking to how these other places make their food.
Other countries live, right?
Yeah, how other countries live, how they get their food, how they source their food, how they make their food. It's so different in some certain ways. And just, like, it makes you feel like you're... To other people in the world, you Americans seem like brats when they can't go to the store or something.
I can see that, yeah. It's something that's, you know, different from what we have over here. You know, we talked about the nutritional part and, you know, we don't do the classic, you know, well, we do, but it's not the same as, you know, what you were talking about, how y'all do things in Hawaii. And, you know, that's not really how, you know, we do things. And I feel like I wish I could experience that more, but, you know, it's not in our culture, right?
Or in your culture.
In my culture, right. As we explored today, food is more than just something that we eat. It's a universal language that brings people together, tells stories, and celebrates culture diversity.
It helps people come together as one, and it helps them unite. Especially in hard times, it helps them see that they're not alone. It's not just you, it's everyone. Right. And the one thing that can bring us all together is food.
Yeah, I agree. You know, we talked about Italy, the pasta there. We talked about the sushi in Japan. What else? What were we talking about in Puerto Rico?
We talked about their mofongo, the red beans and rice, the empanadillas.
Yeah, we talked about a lot there. You know, this. We talked about the spirit of aloha in Hawaii. Each dish carries it with a rich history and a sense of, you know, their community. So next time when we sit down and take a meal, I think that we should take a moment to appreciate the culture, the journey, that, you know, what's on our plate.
That whatever's on our plate, we should be grateful and thankful for, because there's so many people in this world that cannot have whatever, however much we have on our plates with them. And that's why we need to be giving, loving, and kind, and share cultures. That's the only way people will have a good life together.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Well, I just want to say thank you for joining us on this episode of Savoring the World. Until next time, keep exploring and savoring the world of delicious and diversity in our world. And the bass keeps running, running, and 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 running.